Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show co-hosted by Vera Resnick and Debbie Bruck. We're challenging you to join us on our journey to complete Samuel Hahnemann's Organon in 1 year. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community, talking with classical homeopath Vera Resnick. Today is August 2nd, 2010, and you're listening to show number 62 of Who's Reading the Organon, and we will be reading aphorisms number 29 and 30 today, I believe. We start with our inspirational quotes. I have one from Marilyn Shannon of Re-Enchant Planet Earth. She is quoting Abraham Maslow, who we are all familiar with. He says, if the only tool you have is a hammer, you tend to see every problem as a nail. And I like that one because I know that Vera is always hammering away at us, chipping away at old preconceived notions and opening us up to new ideas. And then I have one from Rashmi Hanana, who is a HWC member on Twitter. She says, only the person who listens to the sounds of the moment is able to make the right decisions. That is a quote by Paulo Coelho. There is another one from Twitter. The First Media is quoting Jean-Baptiste. He says, nearly all men die of their remedies and not of their illnesses. Maybe, maybe Vera can make something of that one.
You're referring to conventional medicine, no?
Well, we shall take it as that. And the Dalai Lama is quoted by Gotaro, who says, sometimes one creates a dynamic impression by saying something, and sometimes one creates as significant an impression by remaining silent. So all of us homeopaths can take this to heart and know when it is not our turn to talk, but only to listen quietly. And then I wanted to say something about the network. I want to direct your attention to the fact that we have many, many groups on HWC that are not always that active, but there is one that from time to time gets a little of attention, and that is the one called Cases for Discussion. This is for professional homeopaths only who can get in there if they're having a problem with a specific case and put it up there for other homeopaths to view and give their suggestions. So there are a couple of new cases posted there today. Otherwise, one other thing about the network is that there is a category in the forum for your memorials for persons who have passed on. And Dr. Adil has posted one for a dear teacher that he had. And he did not put it into this category, probably because he didn't know about it. It's in a blog, but you can see it linking from the front page. Okay, we shall get going on studying the aphorism and keep our quotes in mind.
Okay, so we're moving on to 29?
Yes.
Okay. By the way, hello.
Hello, Vera. I didn't formally introduce you, and that's something that I should do. I just got right into the get going today with our inspirations. So, Vera, I really appreciate that 5 days a week through Thursday, you're here with me discussing and talking about the benefits of homeopathy and the wisdom that is written down for us to discover in the Organon written by Samuel Hahnemann.
Okay.
Aphorism number 29.
As every disease, not entirely surgical, consists only in a special morbid dynamic alteration of our vital energy, of the principle of life, manifested in sensation and motion, so in every homeopathic cure, this principle of life, dynamically altered by natural disease, is seized through the administration of a medicinal potency selected exactly according to symptom similarity, by a somewhat stronger, similar, artificial disease manifestation. By this, the feeling of the natural, weaker, dynamic disease manifestation ceases and disappears. This disease manifestation no longer exists for the principle of life, which is now occupied and governed merely by the stronger artificial disease manifestation. This artificial disease manifestation has soon spent its force and leaves the patient free from disease, cured. The dynamist, now freed, can now continue to carry life on in health. This most highly probable process rests on the following propositions. Now, I want to just mention from before and mention now, Hahnemann tells us this is probably the process. He says what's happening actually doesn't matter that much. But this is probably what's happening. And he repeats it. He says that in 28. And in 29, at the end, he repeats this most highly probable process. Not that this is fact. This is speculation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And is there anything else that stands out here for you? Has he spoke the words principle of life in previous aphorisms? Do you recall?
I don't remember, but he's talking, it seems to me, I know there are lots of scholarly treatises written on this, but it seems to me that he's usually referring to the vital force, the principle of life, the mm-hmm. he has the same language. I find it interesting always to see his the structure of how he writes, because okay. As every disease, not entirely surgical, I think if anyone wants to do this as an exercise, it's worthwhile doing it. Take aphorism 29, and you see every expression, every phrase is referring back to previous aphorisms. As in every, mm-hmm. as every disease, not entirely surgical, he talked before about diseases that are entirely surgical, and that you just need to take care of them with the means needed, and then they go away. They're not diseases that need treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So then he's talking about
mm-hmm.
every disease consists. Like each phrase here relates to previous aphorisms, like the fact that a disease is only in a special morbid dynamic alteration of our vital energy, that's a previous aphorism, manifested in sensation and motion, previous aphorism. It's an interesting process to do, to take this aphorism apart, and then
mm-hmm.
we'll understand why he says it's most probable.
Right. So it's as if in the previous aphorisms, he's given us definitions, he's explained the process and what he's thinking, and here he's using terminology that we already have learned and refer back to, and so putting all the pieces together,
mm-hmm.
like a puzzle, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And so is there anything else we need to review on aphorism number 29 that... dynamically altered by natural disease. So he's again saying that this is a disease that came about naturally through the environment, through something that the individual was sensitive to. It wasn't imposed artificial. It wasn't an artificial disease, that this principle of life, this came about naturally. And then the medicinal potency was selected exactly according to symptom similarity. This is something that he's spoken about. And but is this partially something that he said in aphorism 28 about somewhat stronger? He was implying that a little bit earlier, so now he's saying it again.
He said it specifically, not in 28, but before. only the new part in Aphorism 29 is his probable explanation of how this process of the stronger similar artificial disease. So if you think about it, this is another of the things that we hear and we absorb, but we don't necessarily take in. Why should a stronger similar artificial disease knock out a natural disease? Why? Mm-hmm. Why? I mean, if something is stronger and similar and artificial, then maybe it will come and make a noise and go away, and then we'll be left with the original noise that was there from the natural disease. Why should it knock it out?
Good question. Does he answer that for us? I'm thinking
this is exactly this is exactly what he's talking about. It's not my question, it's Hahnemann's question. And his first emphasis in 28 is that's the question. But first of all, you have to see it. There's a law of nature that this happens. So it's not a question of taking a hypothesis, the stronger natural, stronger similar artificial disease knocks out the natural disease, the weaker natural disease. That's not a hypothesis, Hahnemann is telling us. That's a law. Mm-hmm. It's a law that's proved by experience. So we're not dealing here with the usual situation where you have a you have a hypothesis and then you use the scientific method to check is it true or is it not true. Here we are starting with something that is true as proven by a law that has been observed repeatedly, that the stronger similar, first of all, that a stronger similar disease, natural disease, will knock out a weaker natural disease but might kill the patient, and that a stronger similar artificial disease will knock out the natural disease. So the question is, how does that happen? Now, Hahnemann has first of all told us, I think, in 28, he said, don't drive yourself crazy with how it happens. How it happens is not important. But if you like to investigate things, here's my theory. And that's what we have in 29 and subsequent aphorisms. It's Hahnemann's theory, what he thinks is most probably happening. But always with this rider that says, go with experience. Even if you don't understand exactly what's happening, if experience shows you over and over and over again that it's a good idea, you may not understand exactly how fire works if it causes a burn, but experience will tell you not to put your finger in the candle. And if you repeat that experience, even if you have no idea why it's happening, you repeat that experience, you get burnt practically every time, unless you are a trained yogi. The point in this aphorism is what's Hahnemann's theory? That's our question. You know, Hahnemann says, here, I've got an idea how it happens. This is what I think most probably is going on. And then he says, when you give the stronger similar artificial disease, by this the feeling of the natural, weaker, dynamic disease manifestation ceases and disappears. This disease manifestation no longer exists for the principle of life, which is now occupied and governed merely by the stronger artificial disease manifestation. If I try to give the image that comes to mind of this, it's a bit like you're teaching a classroom full of children, right? And there are two particularly noisy, unpleasant little kids sitting in the back who constantly disturb your lesson. And you're constantly having to refer to them and say, will you please be quiet, or words to that effect. And sometimes more pleasant, sometimes less. But you're constantly dealing with those two kids in the back. And it's almost as if you can't be fully aware of the rest of the class, but there's constantly those two kids in the back. And then there's a knock on the door, and the principal says, you know, for the next lesson, you have to take the other class as well. So you've got another class of kids trooping into your classroom. So you've got your regular class, two kids in the back, and now a whole other class with about 10 kids that are totally out of control. Those two kids cease to exist for you. Their irritation ceases to exist for you because you're busy tackling the bigger problem. And the way you tackle the bigger problem will have to be effective, unless you plan to go home with a nervous breakdown. It will have to be so effective that those two little kids in the back from your original class will also be affected by it.
Okay. Well, if anybody has a suggestion about this poor teacher who's in this horrible situation, I feel for that teacher. Mm-hmm. Send your suggestions of what remedy we need to do, not a homeopathic remedy, what actions this teacher can take to get control of this class, and besides handing out candies. It's making it very much more clear to me by your illustration and repetition of what he's hypothesizing. I feel as if Hahnemann would like the little saying, don't worry, be happy. Just take it as it is. You know that gravity is there. The apple is going to fall from the tree. This is what we experience. And in another way, for us as homeopaths, for physicians, there is this law of nature of healing for the vital force. And just use it. Use it or lose it. I don't know. Use it. And we'll discuss more about how he progresses and goes deeper into this absolute lecture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, this was really good. Vera,
you
I
ready
appreciate
to
that. The only
Are
other,
you ready
the only
to
thing
help?
That I to go on to 30, I wanted to mention one more word that
sure.
he uses here, and that is in the second to last line. He says the dynamis thus freed can now continue to carry life on in health. And I think it's important to just mention this word freedom. I don't know whether it's been mentioned earlier. I didn't do a search through the aphorisms. But I think a lot of people use this word as an enabling word to, as he says, carry on with life in good health, that you're able to, without those irritations, those obstacles, whatever is holding a person back from going forward and carrying on their mission and their highest goals, is to feel a feeling of freedom. And I just wanted to bring that out. Okay, aphorism number 30.
Okay, would you
like
to read it? Yeah, sure.
Okay. The human body appears to admit of being much more powerfully affected in its health by medicines, partly because we have the regulation of the dose in our own power, than by natural morbid stimuli. For natural diseases are cured and overcome by suitable medicines. There is a footnote. The short duration of the action of the artificial morbid forces, which we term medicines, makes it possible that although they are stronger than the natural diseases, they can yet be much more easily overcome by the vital force than can the weaker natural diseases, which, solely in consequence of the longer, generally long duration of their action, in parentheses, sore, syphilis, and psychosis, the three miasms, can never be vanquished and extinguished by it alone until the physician affects the vital force in a stronger manner by an agent that produces a disease very similar but stronger, to wit, a homeopathic medicine. The cures of diseases of many years' duration by the occurrence of smallpox and measles, both of which run a course of only a few weeks, are processes of a similar character. And here we go back to the beginning. The human body appears to admit of being much more powerfully affected. Okay. Go ahead.
Just mm-hmm. the point that I'd like to make before we go into 30, just to be aware of Hahnemann's structure here. In 29, he's giving us his probable explanation of what's going on. And at the end of 29, he says, this most highly probable process rests upon the following propositions. So aphorism 30 and the subsequent aphorisms are really the legs on which he rests his case for his probable mm-hmm. explanation of what's happening. So this first
yes.
point of in 30, the first mm-hmm. point he's saying, which is part of the case, is that the body seems to be more affected by medicines than by natural diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Because the natural diseases are cured and overcome by suitable medicines.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that's okay. Partly because it's artificial, so we can regulate the dose. So what do we think of that?
I think that this is probably a question that most people had uppermost in their mind, that if you were to be given something that is stronger than what you've already got, then how are you going to get, you know, it's like piling on a layer upon a layer. How are you going to remove that stronger layer? And here he is with this answer saying it's actually more easily overcome by the vital force than that weaker natural disease, which was more lifelong and would that be more chronic? I may be wrong in that terminology. But so it's harder to remove that weaker natural disease than it is to manage the artificial one, which is in short duration. Is that correct?
That's what it looks like. I think the short duration means the vital force can figure out and more easily overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
Because one would think... So here's the question. Given the vital force is trying to handle a natural disease and is not handling it. So we give the vital force a stronger, similar artificial disease and that the vital force will handle. So we have to ask ourselves why. Why can the vital force handle the stronger, similar artificial disease more effectively than it can handle the smaller natural disease?
Mm-hmm. So here's a thought. Did anybody ever have this a pounding headache or something like that? And then somebody comes along and says, here, I'll take this hammer and I'll hit you over here on your hand and your head will no longer hurt you.
Mm.
Because it's really a bit, I mean, people have said this, and it's because your head now, the pain in your head, you're more, all of your energy is now going to this shorter duration, your hand where you've just been hit. That is kind of a, I don't know whether it's a silly example, but, or I'm thinking about somebody who has a splinter and it's something that's sticking in them, but if you poke them or you dig it out, that's a shorter duration, a bit more pain to go in there and get it out, but once the splinter is out, now the weaker one's gone, that splinter, and also it will heal over from having poked it out. These may not be the best of examples, but I'm just thinking of something that is initially weak that comes upon naturally, and then something that is a little bit stronger but is of short duration. Are you with me there, Vera?
I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm kind of tempted to hop ahead to a concept that Hanuman mentions in Aphorism 45, which will also relate. I mean, we'll get there soon. We'll get there soon anyway. But Hanuman there talks about how two similar diseases are actually working in the same parts of the organism, which reminds me a little bit of the receptors, cell receptors, where there's competition between different elements that are supposed to connect with particular receptors on the cell wall. And part of what disease is when the cell receptors are blocked to the positive thing because a disease factor fits into the receptor meant for something that is good for human function. So in 45, Hanuman refines the idea more and shows us how two similar diseases can't sit in the organism in the same place at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the stronger one will push out the weaker. So we'll get to Aphorism 45 eventually. But here we have the sensitivity of the body to medicines and our ability to control medicines. And that's very much a basis for any work that we do with artificial diseases.
Mm-hmm. So it's important to know. Go ahead.
There are people who don't like the terminology, but yes, you were saying.
The terminology of what?
Of the artificial disease.
Oh.
But that's what the vaccination is. Actually, vaccination isn't artificial. It's like, here, I'm going to give you some. I heard that they're bringing out, they're already pressuring towards flu vaccine to give it early. Did you hear this?
Yes, they are. Yeah, I mentioned it on the show yesterday.
Ah, it was from you. I heard it. Oh, you see.
Your memory is coming back. Yeah, I'm glad you listened. well, here we have, he's mentioning sore syphilis and psychosis in this aphorism. Is there a special reason that he's done that, bringing it in at this time?
I think he's talking about the chronic diseases, the lifelong, longer lifelong duration of their action. If a disease is lasting lifelong, then it relates within a miasm.
So the depth and breadth of a chronic illness is much more difficult, even if it appears to be a weaker natural disease, than something that is dealt with at the moment by giving a homeopathic medicine that is in short duration, lasts for short duration, and of which, by changing the potencies and the time and the repetitions and the quantities of this medicinal dose, we can adjust to finesse the sensitivity of the individual to get it correct in terms of the energetic qualities, so that can vanquish and extinguish these long-term chronic illnesses. Now, we have approximately 3 minutes left, and I don't know whether you would like to read aphorism number one before we sign off, or...
I just want to relate to the end of the footnote, where Hahnemann says the cures of diseases of many years' duration by the occurrence of smallpox and measles are a process of a similar character, because smallpox and measles also run a course of only a few weeks. So he's comparing the action of a natural disease when it's similar, that it can actually cure an old standing, long-standing disease, because the nature of the natural stronger disease also is that it runs a course of only a few weeks. The only problem is that it either cures you or it kills you, with the latter not being option of choice.
Right. Well, it couldn't do it. It either cures you, or you could have a repercussion of, you know, loss of hearing or blindness or some other thing from that disease, that infectious disease, or death could result. Hopefully, with proper homeopathic remedies, we could alleviate those problems. If we see, especially if it's an epidemic disease, we can see what it is that needs to be taken by the majority of people. And I guess we're going to end on this note that, I will say a quote to end today. It's a new kind of an ending. This is Igor Stravinsky. He says, in order to create, there must be a dynamic force. And what force is more potent than love? And see, everybody, tons and tons of love, boku, boku love, and hopefully we will overcome all of our natural illnesses. And I want to say I love this show, and I'm so appreciative to Vera each and every time. We know how much gratitude can change our lives. Vera, I am leaving the last minute for you. She's just going to give us some laughter and quiet.
Yes, more or less. Okay, goodbye, everyone.
Okay. So everyone, take a deep breath. Until tomorrow, we love you, and see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon? With homeopaths Vera Resnick and Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.